Good afternoon. Welcome to the second episode of Pop Fishbowl. I have a special guest today. It's Ashley Berry. Hi, Ashley. How are you?
Hi. I'm great. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
I'm pretty good. We were just talking earlier. I'm hoping I can see a really awful movie. I really want to see Gods of Egypt on the big screen in a really good theater. So
every time, you know, I saw the commercial when I went and saw Force Awakens four times in a row. Yeah,
it was congratulations, crazy. By the way. Yeah,
thanks. I kept seeing that that trailer pop up for Gods of Egypt, and all I kept saying was, "Jamie Lannister, you're so cute. He's like the main character." And it does look really bad, but I mean, you know what? There's something to be said about bad movies. I mean, sometimes they become cult classics.
Well, I always love it when, like, they have a really good idea. Like, when Cowboys and Aliens came out, like, years ago, it was such an awful movie. But I liked the idea of, like, cowboys going against aliens. There was something like that inner child of mine. I liked aliens and I liked cowboys. And it was terrible. Like, it was a really bad movie. But I kind of enjoyed it despite itself. I'm kind of hoping that Gods of Egypt will be like that.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's interesting. It's cool when they marry two concepts, or genres, I should say, like that. Like, I think thinking about Firefly, where it is kind of like a sci-fi slash Western sort of thing. I mean, Firefly did it really well, and it is possible. I mean, Firefly did do it pretty well.
Yeah.
But, we are going to, what are we going to talk about today? Video games?
I think, just video games and pop culture. And I guess we should start off just, I'm going to plug you a bit. So why don't you tell, like, the listeners, like, the one person who listens to this, that's probably my mother, just about yourself and what kind of work you do.
Oh, that's so cute. Hi, Mom.
Yeah.
my name's Ashley, and I write for a lot of different pop culture sites, the Mary Sue, Paste Magazine, Zam. I've written for a bunch of different sites, and I also manage a YouTube channel called Hyrule Hyrulea, and I've interviewed Ashley Birch, Nina Freeman, who did Sybil. I always want to say Cybele, and I know that's not right. And like Patrick Klepek and a couple of more people, so it's pretty fun. And you and I actually, we sort of met on Twitter.
Yeah.
I read one of your articles on the Mary Sue, and I was like, oh my god, this is so cool. It was a graphic novel, I think. I think it was about...
Australia, if I remember. Yeah, because you sent me this really nice tweet, and then we started chatting, and I was like, wow, this person's super cool. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You're cool, too. Yeah, aww. It's really fun to meet, like, freelance writers and such. I use Twitter most of the time for this kind of thing.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm deeply afraid of Twitter, and sometimes, like, sometimes I don't know if people are real or not in Twitter.
I know, right?
I'm like, are you just a bot, or are you, like, an actual human being, like, to me?
Well, and I'm always so scared because I don't know if you've noticed from our interactions, and we've Skyped, like, once, I'm a person who gets, like, fairly excited about things, and I'm also just really supportive of everybody. So if I think somebody is a fantastic human, I just want them to know that. And I sometimes worry because sometimes I'll have an interaction with someone on Twitter, and because they don't know me personally, you know, they have their own kind of preconceptions about life, and they put that into Twitter. And I always feel, I remember one person blocked me. It was like the first and only time I ever got blocked on Twitter.
Oh, what the hell?
And I was trying to be, like, really nice. It was this girl, and she lives in the same city that I do. And she was talking about skipping work to, like, eat Jell-O and pie. And I was like, you are so awesome. I'm jealous of your life. And for whatever reason, maybe she thought I was flirting with her or hitting on her or something. She just blocked me.
Oh.
It was so sad because I'm like, dude, I just think you're awesome and I want to hang out with you.
That's sad. I wouldn't block you.
Oh, thank you. I wouldn't block you either. So, anyways, this is my only second episode because I was going to talk about Zootopia when it came out, but my friend wanted to do it with me, and then life just got in the way, so I have not talked about Zootopia to anyone. But the last episode, I wanted to just firstly talk about, like, the pop culture of the week, like, what I was reading, like, whether it's books or comics, and then video games and TV. So have you been reading anything, like, whether it's a book or a comic?
Yes, I have. I've actually been really getting into graphic novels lately. I used to be really into manga when I was younger, and this week I actually started reading Monstress.
Okay.
Which, oh my goodness, I have to look up her name. I think her name is The writer is Marjorie
Liu. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, and she's fabulous, and it's a really awesome. It reminds me a little bit of Saga, which is a great. That's probably one of my favorite graphic novels of all, or if I should say, stories of all time. That is some awesome storytelling going on there, and it's basically about this. This girl named Micah who has this monster inside of her, and I'm like on the fourth issue. I think the fourth issue just came out a couple of days ago, actually, and it's so intriguing. And I don't really know how to describe it. It's a really unique world. You know, there's like I think it's called like the Human Trade Federation, or I'm thinking of Star Wars, like the Human Confederacy, and then there's like Arcanic people, I think that's how you say it. So it's basically like magic against like human people, and it's really, really fascinating. It's a really poor description of it. I'm just bumbling, but I swear to you, it's really cool.
No, I read the first issue when it came out, because the comic shop that I go to, they recommended it to me. It had just come out that week, but I've only ever read the first issue. I'm one of those people that I got to the point where when I understood what trades were, it didn't make sense, because I'd buy all the issues to support it, and then the trade would come out, and it was kind of like, well, it makes more sense to wait for the trade.
Yeah.
So...
I've been reading that this week. I actually started rereading the second book of the Aberrat series. I don't know if you've ever read that.
No, I have no idea what it's even about. No.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's basically, have you ever read The Golden Compass?
Yes.
Okay, so The Golden Compass is probably my favorite like children's series of all time. It is fantastic and beautiful. And Aberrat reminds me a lot of Golden Compass. It's like, you know, two parallel worlds. And the protagonist's name, she has the best name ever. Her name is Candy Quackenbush.
That is awesome.
And it's fantastic. And she has this deep connection with the Aberrat, which is... it's a bunch of little islands, and every island is a different hour of the day. So,
that's cool.
So some islands are perpetually like, you know, 5 o'clock, you know, at night, or 12 or midnight. And there's like, you know, and then there's this weird island that's like in the twilight, and it's very strange. And it's such a creative, world. And it's a joy. It's probably one of my favorite young adult series as well. But yeah, I started reading that. And how about you?
I just finished The Neverending Story. I loved the movie when I was a kid, and I had never read the book, so I finally finished it. It took me a long time, because it's a long book.
It's very long.
It's like 400 pages.
Yeah.
And it's really funny. There's two movies, and the first one kind of ends at, like, the halfway point. And then the second one kind of adds things in, but then goes off on its own route. So when I got to the halfway point of the book, I was just kind of spent. It was already 200 pages in. It felt like a complete journey, but I had to keep going. And the subsequent part wasn't as exciting as the first, so I struggled. It wasn't like it was a bad read. It was very good and very descriptive, but I was just like, I wished it was a second book.
Yeah, I wish they cut that book in half. I actually read The Neverending Story a couple of years ago. I have a beautiful copy somewhere in one of my bookshelves. I have like three or four. I think it's downstairs actually, but it's all written in like this beautiful green ink, and there's wonderful illustrations inside. And so you finish the book, you got to the part with my favorite part was actually when Bastian went into the Neverending Story, like actually into the world. And I think he was, I can't remember exactly, but he was chasing a lion that would, like, turn to stone.
In the desert.
That was so cool.
Yeah.
I was like, that is an amazing part, and I've only watched the first Neverending Story, so I don't know if they included that in, like, you know, the second or third.
No, they didn't, yeah.
Oh, that's so sad, because it's such a cool part of the book.
Yeah. Well, what I liked about the book, too, is that, like, once Bastian gets to Fantasia, he starts using these wishes that were given to him by the child, like, Empress.
Oh, yeah, the moon child.
Moon child, yeah. She gives him Orin, and he's able to make these wishes, but there's, like, a price to it, which is cool. Every time he uses a wish, he forgets a memory of his human world.
Right.
But in the movie, because everything, you know, they have to make a villain. There's always an antagonist. So they put it on this witch. I forget her name. It starts with a Z or an X. And she's got a very minor part in the book. She kind of appears and she tricks Bastion, and that's the extent of it. And in the movie, she's like the villain. And she has a wish machine. But in the book, they just kind of, every time Bastion just uses a wish, he kind of does it on his own, which I appreciate, because it's not, it's just kind of life. Life is the villain rather right. than, you know, an actual person and face of it.
I mean, for a while, it was the nothing was...
Yeah.
And it literally was nothing.
Yeah.
That was pretty much the driving antagonist in at least like the first half of the book, because it is a really long book. You were very right yeah. in that. I used to love that movie when I was a kid. I loved like all those types of movies, like Labyrinth.
I've never watched Labyrinth.
Labyrinth is really good. Yeah, it's really great. And David Bowie is fantastic in it.
Yeah.
And have you seen The Dark Crystal?
No, that's another one I haven't watched. I know. So I know, I'm terrible.
Oh, you gotta get all these movies yeah. in, because they're all, you know, they're all very similar to me. Like, that was, like, my childhood, was watching all of, like, these Jim Henson movies. And I wish Jim Henson did more with sci-fi and fantasy, with, like, his Muppets. And, because he was extremely creative, and the way he designed those Muppets, I was like, oh my goodness, or puppets, whatever you want to call them. Fantastic.
Yeah. And the other book I was reading, just graphic novels, I was reading Witches by Image. It's this kind of horror comic.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's about this girl who discovers that she has the power to kind of vanquish witches. It's kind of like this trait in her DNA. And it's very dark. I love the characterization. The art is beautiful. It's drawn by a guy named Jock. It's just, you know, it's like Cher. Or, you know, or Prince.
Or Madonna.
Just Jock. And... but yeah, no, it's beautiful and it's very dark. I love dark stuff.
Yeah.
And then the other one I was reading, speaking of fantasy, because you might like this, it's called Autumn Lands, Tooth and Claw. It's about like anthropomorphic animals, and they try to open a portal to get a savior, and the savior is a human being, and he doesn't kind of mesh with them because they're animals and he's a human. Yeah,
I don't think I've ever heard of it.
Yeah, so that one, I think they're both actually by Image, and the trades just came out like a couple months ago. So,
yeah, Image is getting a lot of my money these days.
Yeah.
Between Saga and Monstrous, I'm really, really interested. I actually studied children's literature in grad school.
Oh, did you? Oh, cool. I didn't know
yeah.
that. Yeah.
So I took a picture book class, and you know, reading with pictures, and you know, sometimes pictures tell a completely different story from the text, and it's really interesting, like going into graphic novels, like a visual medium, and I've been more of a visual person, so it's really interesting to go back into that.
Yeah.
But go into far more mature content this time around.
Yeah. Oh, no, I love.
It's very mature.
Yeah. No, I love children's books. Like when I was little, I loved Peter Pan and the Oz series and Narnia. Didn't know Neverending Story was a book until, probably 5 years ago.
Yeah, I didn't either until I was older. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, love The Golden Compass. I read that.
Golden Compass is amazing.
Yeah.
That's probably up there as, like, my number one. It was just so... I love naughty kids, and Lyra is so naughty in the first one, and I just... I love it. I love that she just... You know, I also find it interesting that she's not really like a one-dimensional child either. Like, she's capable of lying and doing bad things.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's not like the innocent, like, one-dimensional kind of character that we have in mind for children, for fictional children. But, yeah. Have you been playing video games at all?
I have been playing some video games. I was lucky enough to get two copies to review. I played Shardlight, which is an adventure game by Wajidai Games, and I got The Flame and the Flood by Molasses Flood. And that's both games are like post-apocalyptic, but Shardlight's an adventure, whereas Flame the Flood is a survival game.
Yeah, I heard a lot about that game.
Yeah. I'm
that's
in
great.
I love it. I suck at it. I'm terrible. I have not finished it. I don't know. I have it on my laptop, and maybe it's just because I don't have a mouse right now for my laptop. I need to adult and buy a mouse. And the controls are just really wonky. And so I'm navigating this raft down this river, and I'm always crashing into things. And so I always die. I make it like halfway, and then I die. And then I have to go all the way back to the beginning. You cannot save, which is frustrating. But the art is amazing. The music, they have this kind of like bluegrass, like country rockabilly thing that they designed just for the game. I got to talk to the designer, and he's such a cool guy. And so, yeah, Flame the Flood, I love. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome. I've been meaning to play that. I've been meaning to play a lot of games, but then life happens and I don't get to play as many games. But I did download Firewatch.
Okay. How's that?
I don't know. I haven't really played too much of it yet. Yeah. But I like it so far. I mean, the character, you know, dynamic between your protagonist and I think her name's Delilah on the radio is really interesting, because I don't know if Delilah's very like a good person or not. Like, I don't know if she's really helping me or just screwing me. So that's been, you know, interesting. And I actually downloaded Final Fantasy IX on my iPhone,
okay.
which is totally nerdy, and it's like a PlayStation 1 game, but it's probably up there as being one of my favorite Final Fantasy games of all time. So that's been fun.
Nice. So dumb question. I assume you're a fan of the series then.
I am. Yeah. I don't really, you know, I kind of stopped playing them after 10. I tried to play 13, but it was more like a cinematic movie than, you know, a game to me. And, you know, I do love this. I mean, Final Fantasy is known for having, like, epic cinematic moments. And, you know, sometimes they're beautiful with, like, the art and everything. But I like the cinematic moments when they're kind of sprinkled in a game. Like, I like being able to have more gameplay than anything. I don't know. It felt more like a movie, 13.
Cool. Yeah. I love world building in games. I think that's why I really like Shardlight, because I fell in love with the protagonist. Like, her name's Amy Wellard, and she's suffering from this illness called green lung. And so the whole point of the game is to basically find vaccine so she can live. And then she gets thrown into kind of like politics and the hierarchy of the world. And it was just really fascinating. A really easy game. It took me about 6 hours to pass. But I loved that world, and I love it when games can just kind of transport me into it so much that, that I geek out and I don't think about anything else in my real world. I'm thinking so much of this imaginary world.
Yeah. That's what kind of world is it there?
It's really like dark and murky. Like, there's corpses all along the screens because of all these people have died of green lung.
Ooh,
yeah.
Yikes. But so green lung is like a plague.
It's like a plague. But everything's pixelated. Like, it's if you ever played like the adventure games from the 90s by like LucasArts or Sierra, it's very reminiscent of that. It's almost deliberate, I'd say. Yeah.
That's, you know, when you were saying that, when it made me think of the plague, as one does sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever played Dishonored, but it reminds, at least the way you're describing it, it reminds me a little bit of Dishonored, because a giant gross plague is sweeping their civilization, and I'm really excited for the second game to come out.
I've never even heard of Dishonored. I need to check that out.
Oh, it's really good. It's a very, not many people know about it. I think it's a little underrated, but it's an excellent game. Bethesda, actually. Okay. I think they either produced it or, I don't know, they had some involvement. But yeah, it's amazing. It's an assassin. You can go through game killing a single person, which is fascinating, and it changes your identity completely. And in the second game, a little girl, first game, who the Empress.
Hey.
Hi.
I lost you. No. Can you still hear me?
What?
Whoa. Internet.
What happened? Yeah, we went to like the nether region of the internet for a second.
It was so scary, Ashley.
Oh no.
Oh no. I think so.
Okay. Cool.
Okay.
I was just going off about Dishonored 2 and just being amazed because yeah. it's a strong female lead this time, which is really great. And I'm really looking forward to that. So,
speaking of strong female leads, when I was interviewing Forrest Dowling, who was the designer of Flame the Flood, it was really interesting because, like, as a male, I like playing female avatars. I don't know why, I always have. Like, if I have a choice, and this goes back to when I was a kid, I will choose the female every single time. And he was saying that because I asked him, I said, why did you choose to make Scout female? And he said, well, because that's always the choice I have. So I thought that was really cool.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, it's cool. Like, I actually have a very, like, distinct memory of when I was a little kid. I was playing a video game with my sister's boyfriend at the time, who I thought was really cool and really cute because I was, like, 10, and I was like, he's playing a game with me. and it was Devil May Cry, I remember, and it was for, I think, PS2 or, I don't know, PS1, something like that. And I asked him, I'm like, why can't I play as a girl?
Yeah.
I don't understand it. And he was like, I don't know, it's just the way it is. Like, you just play a guy in games. And I'm like, well, that's dumb.
Yeah.
Like, even at 10, I was like, why can't I play, like, you know, because I wanted that, like, experience. Like, I always wanted to play as a girl in games, and I always connected better with, like, women. And I'm like, and, you know, it's not to say, like, male characters aren't, you know, fascinating or have their own thing going on. It's just, like, it's nice to have that option of playing someone that is like yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was the other question I had, is because as a girl yourself, like, you know, is it just you want to play something that you can relate to, right?
I do, yeah. And, like, I don't know. I mean, when I was a kid, I used to, like, love Barbies and, like, really, I was into princess stuff. Like, I was a really, really girly girl. And even then, like, I don't know. I'm like, why can I play girls and all these other, you know, different toys? Like, I can play, you know, Barbies and, like, but in video games, I'm always, you know, not forced to play male characters, but, you know, a lot of the time I do.
Yeah.
And it's not always what I wanted. I just never really understood it. And I just remember my sister's boyfriend at the time, you know, had said, well, it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, That should change, and I'm glad to see it is starting to change now, which is good. Yeah,
it's always been, like, frustrating for me, just like in all mediums, not just video games, but everything. There was just never a strong female voice. I always found, just growing up, because I always wanted that. I liked movies and games and TV shows and books that had those characters. I guess maybe because I wanted something different from my own perspective, but I always gravitated towards that. And I was frustrated because I would get teased, you know, you're a guy, why do you want that? Well, why can't I have that, you know? So,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, why can't you have choices?
Yeah, choices.
In video games.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, you know, when I played Mass Effect for the first time, I was really excited to play as a woman through the whole game.
Yeah.
And it was, I thought it was even awesome. Like, if I wanted to, my character almost ended up with Liara. Like, you can play, like, a bisexual character.
That's so cool.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's really interesting. And I think I ended up romancing Liara in the third game because I didn't really like anybody else. And I love Liara. She's a great character, but I like having that choice. And I think actually in the third game, I think the male shepherd can romance one of the male characters too, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, audience, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Which is really great. I love that you can have choices, and you can play, you know, you can play someone with a different perspective or a different experience, and it's great. I really want to see more of that in games.
What do you think it is for you that you like about video games so much?
Oh God. That's a big question.
Yeah, I know, sorry, loaded.
Let me think on that. What do I... I think I like to escape.
Yeah.
I am a very nervous person, a lot. I have an anxiety disorder. I have, like, depression. I have a lot of, you know, stuff that's not so fun to deal with. And I think playing video games, it brings me authentic happiness. And it brings me... it lets me escape. It lets me dream, which I love to do. I like going into different worlds. I like being able to have agency in those worlds. You know, if I want to flip on the light switch, I can. If I want to take this cup, I can. Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's great. I mean, I come from like a writing background, and I studied English literature. I've read a lot of books. I like being able to play around in a fantasy world. I think that's fantastic. Like, I always called the older Final Fantasy games, I'm like, well, they're playable novels, because, you know, the older games before voice acting really became a thing in video games, there would be so much dialogue. I'm like, I am reading a book, but I am also being, you know, accompanied by images and, you know, movies, and I'm being accompanied, like, you know, there's so many other elements that are telling the story, and it's engaging to me. So I don't know. That was kind of a big answer.
Yeah, no, that was a good answer. I like that.
It kind of hit a lot of different points, but yeah, it brings me a lot of happiness, and you know, I really like making friends over it too. I think that is fantastic. Like, I you know, I love my parents, but they don't, you know, my mom's not really a gamer. My dad is somewhat of a gamer, but sometimes they just don't understand, like, my joy. Like, they just accept it.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, like, she likes these games, that's fine. But it's really, really nice to, like, talk to somebody who just gets it.
Yeah.
And which is really nice, you know, it's awesome talking to you because you understand
yeah.
how amazing video games are. And they really are works of art.
Oh, totally.
And I know a lot, there, you know, there's some debate there where some people are like, well, it's just mindless entertainment, you know, whatever. And I'm like, no, games make me think deeply about things. And, you know, they're like, I don't know if you've ever played Journey for PS3. I think it's now on PS4. But it's this little, not little game, I should say. It's, I think actually.
You mean Journey is a long journey?
No, I know what a long journey is.
Yeah.
No, it's just called Journey. It's,
sorry, I was trying to make a joke that it's because the title's called Journey, that you're on a journey.
It's actually not a long journey. When you think about it, it's only maybe 2 hours long, this game.
Yeah.
And you play like a little cloaked man in a desert or whatever, and you can like slide around on sand dunes. And the whole point of the game is to get to this little star on the top of a mountain. And it's incredibly relaxing, and it has some of the most beautiful art I think I've ever seen. And I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my very long-winded answer.
I like it. I would agree with you. I think, and not just for video games, like for books as well. Like, I've always had a very overactive imagination because reading was kind of my everything. And I too like to escape because I also have anxiety and depression and all those things. And just that very big overactive imagination. And I like to just escape, whether it was reading a book or, you know, watching a TV show or a movie or playing a video game. Video games always gave me a sense of relief. You know, because I would be able to turn on the game wherever that was, whether it's a laptop or just a desktop or even one of the consoles, and I would feel like I was transported in that game. Like, it had my attention and nothing else did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that.
Yeah, it's definitely awesome.
Yeah.
We all have our reasons for playing games.
No. I guess the other kind of question I had, speaking of the week, so we talked about the things that we're reading and that we're playing. Is there anything that you're excited about upcoming for video games?
Oh, well, I did talk about Dishonored 2.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about that. I'm really looking forward, actually, this is a little, well, not kind of strange, but I'm really looking forward to seeing how virtual reality plays a role.
Okay.
Very soon in video games. Because you know, PlayStation, I think PlayStation just released a VR, their own version of a VR headset. I'm really looking forward to that experience. I still haven't had that experience. And I want to know what it's like to be completely immersed in a game like that.
Yeah.
I want to know if it changes my experience totally, because I'm already pretty immersed as is, like playing it on the couch in front of a screen. I want to know what that's like on my head. And, you know, when I turn around, I'm turning around in the game and I'm looking behind me inside this game. I'm really looking forward to that, to seeing how VR is really going to shape gaming and the gamer's experience.
It's going to be interesting kind of going forward, because you think of like all the genres that it'll change, you know, like whether it's first-person shooters or role-playing, or, you know, just, you know, even like games online where you just chat with other people, like Sims. Sims is another one that, like, you know, would be a totally different experience with VR.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially, you know, you mentioned you really like horror, you know, horror comics and stuff. And, I mean, imagine what it's going to be like playing a horror game in VR. I mean, that's going to be terrifying.
Oh, totally. Like, yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, I mean, they've already made some really, really scary stuff. And I don't know if you ever got to play, the playable trailer for the Silent Hill game that they're not doing anymore, but they were doing at one point. That was absolutely terrifying. Brilliantly made. Wonderfully executed. I don't know if I'd want to play it on a VR headset, because I think it might be a little too scary for me.
Yeah.
But I think, where you feel like, you know, you can't really escape very easily. Like, you can't just turn your head or close your eyes because, you know, it's everywhere around you and you can hear it.
But closing my eyes and turning my head is my, go-to defense. Like,
yep.
What will I do without that? Like, I went to a horror movie, like, in January. I went and saw The Forest with Natalie Dormer from Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to see that. Did you like it?
I liked parts of it. I liked the idea of it focusing on, like, the Japanese suicide forest, which is
a real thing.
It's a real thing. And I kind of...
It's so scary.
It's so scary. And I kind of want to go, like, despite my...
Me too.
Okay, awesome. Let's do it. But so anyways, it was really embarrassing, and I don't mind telling you the story and everyone else. During the movie, the creatures that are chasing this woman who's looking for her sister who disappeared in the forest, they have these they're representing the lost souls of all the people who've died, and they wear these burlap sacks and they're chasing her. And at one point, somebody in the row stood up, and they were wearing a scarf around their neck, and it covered a bit of their face, and in the dark and my overactive imagination, it looked like a burlap sack, and the creature had come to life and was coming towards me. And I jumped out of my seat and said, "Oh my God," and kind of clenched my fists. And the person that I was with was totally amused. She says, I have to go to more of these with you because this is hilarious. The whole audience laughed, but I was really freaked out. And so if I kind of put that context in a VR simulation, that would be terrifying.
That would be really terrifying.
You know, because, I mean, that was real life, quote unquote, and I was just terrified. And I went home that night, and I had the lights on probably for about 4 hours.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's, you know, it's funny. I feel like escapism is kind of a double-edged sword when you think about it, because, you know, on one hand, we escape to calm down or to feel some kind of relief, you know, when we play video games. But on the other hand, if we're playing a horror game, like, on a VR headset, I mean, that is a form of escapism, but is it where you want to escape to?
Yeah.
I don't know. And I do love horror stuff, too. Like, I'm really into horror movies. I like horror comics and stuff, too. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. You know, that might make me a little too anxious. You know, I usually do play games to relax and not to feel anxious.
Yeah. No, I know. There's some games that they just even have, like, a smidgen of horror element, and it terrifies me because it adds up the tension. It gets my own anxiety going.
It does.
Yeah. So, no, even, like, Stephen King, it's funny. I think of him as one of my favorite authors. I've read 3 of his books.
Uh-huh.
Most of them, I just can't do it. Because it's just too descriptive, and again, my imagination gets going, and it builds upon it even greater.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's just, it's really horrible.
Stephen King is wonderful. I love reading his books because I grew up in New England, mm-hmm. and I live here currently.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of his books are based in Vermont and New Hampshire, you know, rural countryside, and I can just picture it so perfectly, and I feel like I'm living... Sometimes, you know, when it's, you know, fall here, I feel like I'm living in a Stephen King novel because it can be pretty damn creepy up here.
Yeah.
And I actually, the last book I read of his was Dr. Sleep. I don't know if you read that one.
No, it's a sequel to The Shining, right?
Yeah. It's about Danny, grown-up Danny, and him trying to still deal with, you know, the traumatic events of the past. And, you know, he still has the Shining power and... it's really fantastic. I definitely recommend it. King has a way of welcoming you back to his world.
Yeah.
Like, as I was reading it, I was like, oh, I'm back. Like, I'm back with, you know, with this family. And yeah, I think it's really interesting. I think you'd like it.
Cool, I'll do it.
Freaky.
Yeah. I guess the last thing I want to end on for pop culture, are you watching like any TV? Are you a big TV watcher?
I binge sometimes.
Okay.
Yes, sometimes I do. So I'm I finished watching Fuller House.
Okay.
Because we talked about it that one time, and then I immediately binge watched it.
Oh, that's some fantastic.
And then I'm in the middle of season 3 of Star Wars Rebels, which is a kid's show, but I love it. My boyfriend and I watch it a lot. So, yeah, I'm watching that. I love anything Star Wars.
Okay.
I've seen the Clone Wars, and now I'm watching Star Wars Rebels. It's fantastic. The thing I love about, you know, Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels is that they don't, like, address gender. Like, their pilot is a female Twi'lek, and she's, like, my favorite character, and she is the best pilot in the Rebel fleet, and she's amazing. And, you know, they have a Mandalorian woman named Sabine, and I love that. Like, I love that they're so, it's such a balanced show. Like, the women are as capable as the men. And, you know, Ahsoka Tano, I mean, come on, she is just fantastic. She's a wonderful Jedi. And yeah, I definitely recommend those two shows. Fuller House, I got kind of bored.
Okay.
At the end, I'm with you on, you know, I find it kind of strange that they don't really address DJ, spoilers, by the way, they don't address DJ Tanner's husband's death, really. You know, it's just kind of like, you know, yes, this happened, and, you know, Kimmy and Stephanie's beautiful, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
That actress, my God. I just kept, like, watching her. I'm like, you are so gorgeous, and you dress so well. You have such great outfits. and she's still very funny, and I don't know. I think it's past its time.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was cute in the 90s, and, like, I grew up watching that show, and I grew up with sisters, so I could relate to it on that level, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It was awkward and weird.
And, like, not in a good way?
No.
Yeah.
Not really. I just got tired of it. The jokes got old to me. Still cheesy 90s humor.
Yeah. No, it's like they didn't... I think I mentioned this. Like, I only watched 2 episodes, and it's like it didn't evolve. It really felt like it was out of a time capsule. Like, but no, I didn't like, oh, this is so cool. It's never left. It was like, wow, that was 20 years ago.
Right.
We've evolved as a culture. Like, TV has so much drastically changed.
Yeah, it really has.
Yeah. I've been watching The Magicians on Sci-Fi and loving it.
I need to get into that.
Yeah. I was never really a big Harry Potter fan. I watched all the movies and then I read the books later. But this is just so great. It really is kind of like an adult version of Harry Potter. It's like
That's
the same.
Awesome.
Yeah. So The Magicians is totally my jam. It comes on every Monday and I get so excited when I'm able to download it and I just immediately watch it. And I've also been obsessed with The People versus O.J. Simpson.
Oh, yeah, you've been telling me about... Yeah, I need to watch it because I love Sarah Paulson so much.
She's so good, yeah.
You were saying, like, a lot of really cool things about her character and, like, the way she's dressed and, like, her hair and everything. I'm trying to remember. It wasn't... So that lawyer back, you know, back when the O.J. Simpson...
Yeah, Marcia Clark.
So she got a lot of flack for... her appearance.
Totally, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, like, I mean, and it was really interesting. They just devoted an episode to Sarah Paulson's character. Like, just last week, the episode was called Marsha, 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 which I guess was like a thing from the Brady Bunch.
Right.
And it was really interesting. So at one point, her character is in the supermarket just getting groceries and stuff. And there's stuff on her in the tabloid about how horrible her haircut is. And it's like, really? Like,
yeah. Like, is that really important?
Yeah. But for them, like, the whole thing just kind of became like a circus. Like, it really was a precursor to the reality TV that we live in and kind of like fame whoring and all of that. Like, it was just, it's so fascinating because I was too little at the time to really to be aware of it. But it's so sad because she was such a competent lawyer that I think got overshadowed by all these tricks and sideshows and yeah.
Do you know anything about her career, like, after the O.J. Simpson trial? Like, you know, did she stay a lawyer, or, did she get any more work after that, or?
No, she never tried another case, or at least in court.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I know that's, like, I didn't watch it, but she was on an episode of The View, and they asked her about the show, and she's like, I'm not watching it. And it's like,
yeah.
Good. Because I can't imagine how hard it would be, especially not only for her, but the families of, like, Nicole and Ron Goldman and everything.
Yeah. God.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've been obsessed with it, and it's horrible. Like, I get mad at myself, Ashley, because it's not that it's a bad show, but it's, like, it's just such a train wreck in, like, the best way possible, and I don't think of anything else. Like, I get really excited, and, like, even in our day of, like, we're able to download things, whether it's through iTunes or whatever means, I don't need to be at home for it, but I make time for it. On Tuesday nights, I'm like, I gotta be home, it's 10 o'clock. You know, people were so jealous on.
That's awesome, because I totally make time for American Horror Story when it's on.
Right, yeah, you were mentioning
that. That's a guilty pleasure for me.
Yeah.
And I know Sarah Paulson from there, and I love her.
Yeah. Although,
you know, because it's different every season. It's a different story, which is really, really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Sarah Paulson.
Yeah.
She's great.
So, is there anything that you're looking forward to this week, just in terms of stuff that you're working on, or even, like, Ashley life that...
well, I'm looking forward to... I'm off on Friday, which is really nice,
okay.
So I'm looking forward to being off.
Yeah.
things in the future that I'm looking forward to. I'm on a panel at PAX East, actually.
Oh, that's exciting! Go you!
Yeah, so it's really cool. So I'm going to be on a panel. It's on April 23rd at 11 a.m. Eastern in the Bobcat Theater.
Yeah.
They have interesting names for all the theaters. But yeah, I'm going to be there at PAX East. I'm on a panel of all women. We're going to talk about, like, you know, how to get into games journalism, you know, what it's like to deal with, you know, kind of being in the public sphere, I guess, of digital publishing,
yeah.
Dealing with, like, comments or, like, criticism from your editor. We're going to cover all those topics, and yeah, it should be a lot of fun, so it'll be good.
That is so...
And I'm having a... Do you know... Actually, you know Jessica Lechnal from Mary Sue? Yeah, she's coming on the panel with me.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah, so I'm so excited. I've interviewed her before, and she's wonderful and so smart.
Yeah.
So I'm really, really looking forward to meeting her.
I love her articles, and I follow her on Twitter, and her comments and thoughts are just lovely.
They are.
Yeah.
For a while, her and I kept going back and forth. We're obsessed with Poe Dameron from...
okay, yes.
Like, I just think he is... stupidly handsome.
Okay.
I'm like, you are so charming, and but you're not like a dick. Like, I feel like Han Solo was a dick.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, like, Han, you know, Harrison Ford is a very attractive man, but, like, he was a dick. Like, that character was a dick. But I feel like Poe is, like, the perfect you know, mixture of scoundrel, but he's not a jerk, but he's also very charming. And yeah, so Jessica and I were, like, passing each other, like, random little gifs back and forth with Poe Dameron for a while, and I'm sure we're going to talk about it at the panel because, you know.
Lovely. I support your Poe Dameron fixation. I like Poe Dameron as well. I've only seen the movie once. It's leaving our theater, like, this week, so I'm going to go on, like, cheap night on Tuesday and see it. It's a money thing. It's like, when I don't have tons of money, I can't see movies, like, over and over and over again, as much as I'd like.
Expensive, yeah.
Oh, I know. Like, I had to, like, ask my mom. I'm like, Mommy, I really want to see Zootopia again. She's like, fine.
It's so sad, but I saved up money to go see Force Awakens a few times. I don't go to the movies for the most part.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just not, I don't know. I just don't really do it very often, but I'd rather watch movies from, like, my bedroom, or I just feel more comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
And, but, no, Force Awakens was, like, totally, like, that was probably... the most I've gone in, like, a whole month into a movie, because I was like, I love it so much.
It was so incredible for me. I don't know if I mentioned, I was really sick of the hype. Like, I'm not as big of a Star Wars fan as you. I love it and respect it, but the hype had just gotten so much, I felt it was pushed down my face, and so I didn't want to see Star Wars. I just wanted people to shut up about it. But I knew that...
I understand that.
Yeah, but I knew that because of social media that I had to see it, like, opening day or weekend, because... it would be ruined for me. Like, just, I'd go on Facebook and somebody would say something.
Oh, yeah.
And so I went with my brother, and he was looking forward to it, and I loved it. I enjoyed it more than he did. He was just like, it was okay. I'm like, okay, it was amazing. It was, like, my everything. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they did a really good job. I'd like to see less retreading, because I feel like this plot was a lot like A New Hope.
Yes.
And you know, and which is okay. I mean, I think it was nice to welcome us back into this world again, and you know, we're entering a new chapter, and I think that it was a good, you know, transitional kind of movie. But the next movie, I really want to see like Poe, you know, Finn and Rey really stand on their own.
Yeah.
Because I really loved the cast. I was like, wow, these young folks are great, and they have such a great dynamic with each other. Finn is fantastic.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see more, you know, and I'm excited to see Luke.
Yeah. I know. I think I actually like just said, "Come on!" in the theater, because she finally gets the Luke. We finally see, and then they end the movie, and it's like, no. And I know
he didn't say anything. He just turned around.
I'm gonna message you on Twitter on Tuesday night when I rewatch it, because I'll be like, no.
I know.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mark Hamill is a fantastic actor. Like, he's a great voice actor.
Oh yeah.
His work with the Joker. Oh, amazing. He's so talented. So I'm really excited to see him come back as Luke.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I never really liked Luke when I was little.
Did you
not?
Like,
he whines a lot, and I don't know.
Yeah. I like Leia. Leia and Han were always my favorites.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Leia was always my favorite, but yeah, I'm really looking forward to, you know, seeing these new folks. I mean, Daisy Ridley is wonderful.
Did you see on the Mary Sue, they were mentioning it because she's in talks, I guess, to take over for Laura Croft.
I did hear that. I think she'd be great.
Yeah.
I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, thank you so much for joining me. It's always lovely to chat to you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. It was really nice of you to invite me on.
Yeah. Well, I hope to have you again, because it was just fun to just gush about nonsense. And
anytime you want to gush, I am all for gushing. So.
Awesome. Well, have a wonderful rest of your day and weekend, whatever you're doing.
Oh, thank you very much.
Awesome.
I will.
Okay. Yeah. Talk to you later, Ashley.
Bye.